Coming up on today's episode, we take stock of where the Jets are at American Thanksgiving. Plus, we recap the win in Tampa Bay.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, let's dive right back on into it here. Happy Friday morning and happy American Thanksgiving to any of our listeners south of the border. A perfect time to take stock and look back and see where things have been and where things might be moving forward. And that will be the main theme of this episode here today. Joining me once again, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. Tyson, how we doing today? How things going?
Pretty good. It's weekend. That's all that matters. Let us get to Friday again.
Working for an American company, the fact that you can have a five-day weekend, four-day, whatever it is. I don't know. It's like I love it. That's all it is. I actually also think that American Thanksgiving should just be renamed to America Day. Like, that's it. It should just be America Day because it perfectly illustrates everything that the U.S. is all about, which is gluttonous behavior in football. So, I mean, take days off. I love it. It's great. I wish Canada would have 2 days off for Thanksgiving every year. So they,
I know, even like 4th of July, they're like, if the 4th of July is on a Wednesday, they're like, well, I'll just take Thursday, Friday off.
We'll see you guys. We'll see you guys mid-July. Well, there's nothing. I wish we could do something about this, but we'll see in a couple weeks. So they get it right. And also, too, I mean, to sit home and watch football all day long, that's about as good as it gets. I get why the NHL takes Thursday off. I mean, you're not going to win. No one's going to tune in. The fact that they took Tuesday off as well this week is just beyond absurdity at this point. The NHL and scheduling, find yourselves two more issues that cannot compete with each other in a proper manner there.
And it's funny too, one of the teams that had an arena available was the Coyotes, and if I'm the NHL, I'm telling the Coyotes, yeah, you guys don't get to pick. If you guys
like you're the Coyotes, you will like, and they just like, we don't want to play Tuesday. Whoa, yeah, okay, that's congrats, you're playing on Tuesday. Oh man, either way though, I mean, we don't have to take stock of where the NHL scheduling is because we know it's always in the toilet. What we do have to do is take stock of where the Winnipeg Jets are, which is much higher up the standings than a lot of people might have anticipated going into the season. And part of that is because OT victory in Tampa Bay Wednesday night. Adam Lowry, who I assume everybody picked to score the OT. Oh, wait, nobody knew he was even on the ice. But the captain gets it done, and the Jets pick up a not even much needed 2 points, but a well-deserved 2 points out there in T-Bay. Before we look at where the Jets and the rest of the NHL is at American Thanksgiving, Tice, what you make of the game against Tampa?
Well, it's whenever you go into Tampa, too, like it's always good to you're going to have a little bit extra juice just because of the past 2 years, the pedigree that the team has, and they weren't overwhelmed by the Lightning's pedigree. Some teams go in there and they get a little starstruck or thunderstruck. Maybe is a better, ooh, better describing word of it, but
lame. Nice. Yeah.
But yeah, like it's a good win, like going into another conference team barn, taking a big 2 points. They got Florida up next. Like it's nice getting that win against Tampa on this 3-game stand. And then knowing that you can kind of split Florida, Nashville, right? Like that's one of the big things going into this road trip, is now that it takes a lot of pressure off them. And hey, if you can come out of this 3-0, all of a sudden you probably pass the Avalanche, who have kind of been hit or miss this year.
Sputtering yeah. Of late. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you beat Florida. That Nashville one on Sunday looks extra, extra juicy, doesn't it? And then you set yourself up in a real nice spot, officially passing the 20-game mark at that point. I mean, it wasn't the greatest performance by the Jets. I mean, there was that stint in the second period where Tampa Bay kind of piled it on pretty good, But two things stood out to me in this one, Tyce, and it's kind of the only things that I really wanted to talk about the game as a whole. But I would say first, in terms of impact moving forward, I think we got ourselves Prime Helly back. I don't think we have to worry too much about Hellebuck and, you know, is he going to live up to the contract? What's wrong with him this year? All that stuff. I think going back to that final half of the game against Buffalo to now, I think we're good to go. I mean, he was excellent against Tampa Bay. And I mean, the two shots that beat him are world-class shots by world-class players. That was the only way he was getting beat on Wednesday night there. Stammer, one-timer off the post and in, and then Braden Point, you know, from point-blank range, again, goes bar down and in. And other than that, Hellebuck stood tall, held the fort down, and he was absolutely dynamite. So it's crazy to think the Jets are where they are right now with, by his standards, below-average play from Connor Hellebuck. Imagine what this team can get to if he becomes Vezina Connor Hellebuck, Vezina finalist Connor Hellebuck, all-star level goaltending there for the Winnipeg Jets. So, I mean, that's kind of exciting to see how this changes moving forward, is that if the Jets can just maintain solid play, they're going to be just fine in the chase for a comfortable playoff spot in the Central Division there. So that was awesome. The other thing, go ahead.
I just wanted to add that you mentioned the power play there, on the power play goal. I am interested to see over these next two games how the penalty kill looks, just because over this last homestand too, they're trending in the right direction. I believe they killed 15 of 18 on that homestand. And if they can, I mean, it's Tampa, so you probably give them a little bit of a pass on that one. I mean, the gap, the seam was huge on that goal.
Yeah, the only thing was Appleton got hit with a shot earlier, and then so.
Yeah, you give them a little bit of slack, but the penalty kill is moving in the right direction, aside from that game, if you want to call that a road bump. So,
no, I mean, look, they it just can't kill them. Just average penalty kill down the rest of the season. Like, that's obviously you want it better, but it's like, just don't slaughter this team. And that's what it did for the majority of the first 17, 18 games of the season here. But the other thing that stood out to me, Tyson, and it's interesting, too, because it comes off the heels of that game against the Coyotes on Saturday, where there was a noteworthy performance in a negative direction. But that was surprisingly, shockingly, Kyle Connor's best defensive game of his NHL career. I just wanted to make note of it. He was outstanding. I mean, two plays obviously stick out to anybody that watched the game there. One, the back check on the power play, where, I mean, he stops a breakaway basically first and then mitigates a odd man rush going in on Connor Hellebuck there, and the Jets are able to sort that one out there. So, I mean, one massive effort play there. There was another back check shortly thereafter, which he came back on and broke up another odd man rush. And then he actually manhandled somebody in front of the Jets' net. It's like, what? Like, possessed by the spirit of Guy Carboneau or something? Like, what is going on here? But he had a bit of a soft one of the goals against Arizona on Saturday. And I think Jets fans have just kind of come to where it's like, look, he's going to score 40-plus goals every year, and he's just not going to be good defensively. I think people have just kind of come to that. Like, they've accepted that in terms of the different stages there. It's just acceptance at this point. But man, I just think seeing how Connor responded in that game against Tampa Bay, I just don't think that happens at any point last year. I think it kind of signifies and symbolizes the difference from this year's team to last year's team. And you can say it's Lowry's captaincy, you could say it's Scheifele's resurgency, whatever it is. I would agree with all of those things. But just seeing your best players put an effort like that in their half of the ice, one, love it. Two, it is a different team than last year. And I'll be shocked if we see another second half collapse from this team like we saw last year. It may not end in postseason glory or anything like that, but I just feel like it's a different group, different vibe. And I just thought those two plays in particular jumped out there. And for a guy that gets a lot of flack for his lack of defensive game, he deserves a bit of a shout out when he comes out and shows up in his own half of the ice. So good on KFC with some finger-licking good defensive play.
And another guy that I wanted to mention too, I think Neil Pionk's been playing really good these last couple of
games. Outstanding.
He's been, and especially those, some of those outlet passes that he's been making from his own zone, like he's been really snapping the puck around and like right on guys' tapes. Like there was one of the goals against Buffalo directly off of a breakout pass from him in his own end. I believe one of the goals against Arizona, another breakout pass from his own end. And then even just Tampa, like throughout the game, he was constantly making perfect passes onto guys' tapes. So I thought, I think Neil Pionk's been I don't want to go unbelievable, but he's been very good on that second pair for the Jets this last little stretch.
Yeah. I mean, dealing with some personal issues, and he still found a way to kind of fight through that and perform extremely well on the ice right now. I 100% deserving of a shout out there. Pionk has been about as good as we could have hoped for on the second pair going into the season, especially when that was one of the main areas of concern before the regular season got underway for the Jets. So now, after the win in Tampa, four straight dubs, the Winnipeg Jets somehow find themselves tied with the Colorado Avalanche, the mighty Avalanche, for second in the Central Division, just 2 points back of the Dallas Stars. I guess let's look at the Western Conference as a whole, Tyson. So right now, Vegas paces the way with 30 points. They've been by far the best team in the conference so far. Vancouver's shot out of a cannon, and we'll see how that plays out. I mean, anybody that's kind of followed that knows there's some percentages that don't seem to point towards those continuing over the next 20, 30 or so games. But having said that, through 20, Vancouver sits in second in the Western Conference, then Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, and LA kind of round out the rest of the playoff picture there.
I've been really enjoying the discourse between Canucks fans and some reporters, where
quick power ranking most annoying fans on Twitter in the NHL.
Flyers fans are number one.
Well, they're the dumbest. We are both Flyers fans for those. They're the dumbest for sure. Right now, I think the Canucks, the Leafs are kind of like they're in a different kind of sad place now.
The Leafs fans are just like sad.
They don't even care. Like they've just been beaten. So it's kind of funny where they're at. But I think Vancouver is clear and away the most annoying Twitter fan base because of the start that they've had, where if you even dare mention that what they're doing is unsustainable moving forward, you get a 400 tweet thread about, well, actually the things they do well lead to a 85% shooting percentage on the power play. And Thatcher Demko actually has always stopped 97% of this. Like they're just so like beyond reasonable right now that it's just like, anytime I see any sort of Canucks stat, I just like blow right by it, 'cause I just don't want to deal with it.
I understand the point being like, clearly you're not going to be playing at this rate all year, but like, I do also like, the more some of these reporters and writers are doubling down on the Canucks regression, and they're still playing at this level, and they're like, well, it's not happening yet, but it will. But it's just like, it's two groups of people who are just like stammering, and they're both just like, well, no, that's not right. My way is right. And it's just, I just like the kind of, there's just a lot of angst. That probably makes me a bit of a hater, maybe.
No. Everyone's stupid right now. That's the, like, everyone is to blame. There's nobody that's faultless through this, but it's just like, if you're a Canucks fan, just enjoy the hot start. Like, what, you bank the points just because you didn't dominate play the entire time doesn't make the points fake or anything like that. And just like, enjoy the hot start and realize that, you know what, we don't have to play all that good the rest of the way to make the playoffs now, which they've almost clinched a playoff spot with how many points they've banked already.
Yeah, and Canucks fans, you don't have to worry about people's, like, you don't have to worry about that. And hockey writers, it's okay to admit that you're not totally right all the time.
That's where you're wrong, Tyson. Hockey writers are always right.
Oh, I know. If you ask them, but it's just like, it's okay. You know, it's okay to admit that the stats didn't totally back up how that player actually plays. It's okay.
By the way, I should say when I make that statement, that actually excludes Murata Tesh, Ken Weeb, Mike McIntyre, Scott Billick.
Yes.
Anybody else in Winnipeg. Yes. You guys are all cool. Everybody else though, not so much.
Yeah, it actually is kind of true though. Like, yeah, I've never seen like any drama, any unnecessary drama with the Winnipeg beat, and they're all super professional. Like
beauties.
Totally. And then you go look at Edmonton and it's like, holy smokes, what is going on there?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to Edmonton in just a second. Don't you worry about that. But with the standings the way they are right now, I mean, I would say the majority consensus was that Winnipeg was going to be a bubble playoff team this year. You know, going into the season, when people made their predictions, something along the lines of, you know, they'll be a wild card club or they'll be just on the outside looking in. Now that we're 18 games into the Jets season, a quarter of the way through, essentially, I guess just what's changed in terms of their trajectory for this year? Because I think we were both, you know, they'll sneak into the playoffs. That's unlikely to be the case right now. So where, like, how have your feelings changed on the Jets 18 games for them into the year?
Well, here's the thing.
With how the rest of the West has played as well.
Yes. Well, the rest of the, especially the Central, is not very good too. So that helps a lot for the Jets' playoff chances. The one thing is just that I remember last year around this exact same time saying that Mark Scheifele looks rejuvenated. He looks like someone he's never looked like before. He's playing defense. He's using his body to shoot. Like, it's that kind of stuff where it's, you see the pattern, and I just don't want to get hurt again. That's the biggest thing, is I don't want to get my hopes up too high, because last year they were up pretty high thinking, hey, who's got a better 1-2 punch down the middle than the Jets right now? Not many teams. And then all of a sudden, PLD or PL Dubois, like, what?
That's better.
But he all of a sudden just decides to stop caring. The whole team just kind of checks out. Like, I want to reserve complete judgment till around January.
Okay. And I just coward. Here's the deal. and I get what you're right. Like, there's going to be a lot of people that feel that way too. But that part you kind of mentioned there where Dubois decided, hey, I don't want to really do this anymore. He's not here anymore.
Yeah.
And Blake Wheeler, I'm not pinning it all on these guys, but I mean, like, Blake Wheeler playing 18, 19 minutes a night previously, seeing what he does with the Rangers right now, he's not here anymore either. And you touched on Pionk playing much better, right? And the defense corps as a whole, I think, falls into that category. It's because the Jets forwards are miles better defensively than they were last year. Like, that's had the trickle-down effect to where Pionk looks great on the second pair. Brandon Dillon looks effective on the second pair right now. Sandberg and Schmidt have been excellent, just crushing third pair minutes right now. It's because of guys like Iafallo coming in, a full season of Nino Niederreiter. I mean, Vladdy playing out of his mind, and just wait till Vilardi gets back up and running again. Like, the Jets are just a much more complete and committed defensive group right now. And I really, it might not be as high as they are right now later in the year, but it's not going to fall off a cliff like it did last year. I don't see it that way. So I think.
Sorry, I agree with you that I think it's less likely that you see a fall off. It's just there's still a large group of the same core, but it is a total. Knock on wood, it feels like a totally different team this year.
Yeah, I think Lowry being the captain is a big part of that too, because the guy leading the way is about as committed as they get there. So when I look at the Central, I mean, even just the Central before the Western Conference, I mean, it's a three team race right now inside that top three. And I'll be beyond stunned. It might be like suicide wing challenge prediction time. There's no way the Jets finish outside the top three. I'll call it right now. It might be, it's early. I'm going to call it though. The rest of the division, it stinks. Like Chicago's, they're done. Minnesota, done. Nashville, awful still. Who's next? Arizona. Arizona will be, they'll be frisky. They'll be pesky.
I can see them being this year's Nashville.
Yeah, like they're gonna be in it, tough out. But I mean, they're not. How many points back? They're what, six? They're not making up 6 points on the Jets right now. And then St. Louis is the closest. I have not been impressed every time I've watched them. So I'm just not a believer in the Blues. I mean, it's gonna be tough for the Jets to catch Dallas or Colorado. I mean, to me, right now, Dallas might be. Dallas and Vegas, I think, are the standard bearers in the West right now. The thing that worries me about Colorado, honestly, is that they make a big move to bring in some reinforcements, and it's tough to bet against that blue line there. I think Winnipeg is going to keep it a little bit closer, maybe, than a lot of people might anticipate. But I can see this being that the Jets kind of cruise to third in the division this year, where it's, you know, not too much worry about the teams behind them, but likely still that Colorado and Dallas push themselves to where it's unattainable for the Jets, and they kind of sit in the third spot for the majority of the rest of the year here. Out there in the Pacific, I mean, I think it's going to be Vegas, Vancouver 1-2. I also, bold prediction, pick Vancouver to win the Pacific. So, I mean, I'm not that far off right now. I think LA is going to be there as well. I think like those three as the most likely playoff teams. After that, I have no idea, Tyson. I have no idea whatsoever. Edmonton's done. It's over. They're broken. It's just like, it's one of those years where like literally everything's going wrong for them. And I like, it's beyond the coaching change and this. Like they're getting just awful luck, and it just feels like it's snowballing completely out of control. And I just don't see them finding a way out of this. Calgary's like, I don't know. I don't even know who else is going to grab the. It might be one of the worst eight playoff spot teams we've seen a long time this year in the West. It's slim pickings right now. It's not too good.
It's really bad. And just on the Oilers too. I legitimately think that this is going to be a franchise altering season where, like, I don't know whether it's going to be for the positive or the negative. I think it could be a little bit of both, but I think this is the year where it's like Ken Holland's going to be gone, and then it's going to be I'm blanking on his name right now, but McDavid's former agent,
Jeff Jackson.
I think that he might be. Even I'm going to make a bold prediction for next season already. I think Jeff Jackson ends up being worse than Ken Holland in Edmonton.
But what about Peter Chiarelli? That's fair. Yeah. I might edge there too. That's fair.
Like honestly, like even the moves they made so far, you bring in Chris Knobloch, who's the only claim to fame that he has is that he's McDavid's junior coach, awful assistant in Philly, not a good head coach in the AHL. And then they just give him an NHL head coaching job. Like it's blowing my mind. And then to hear all this, we're not talking to Connor. Like, just shut up. Just stop. Like, stop. You're lying to your fans. You're lying to your players. Like, and you wonder why these guys don't look like they don't even care when they're out there. Like, it's an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
You mentioned Calgary too. Another dumpster fire. Those guys have just quit on their season. Like the West is terrible. The West is really bad, and it bodes well for the Jets because they're a good team. A good team is playing the majority of their games against not good teams. They should do pretty good, and so far they've done that. And then they've had some big wins against some solid teams. Like even we talk about. There was a little bit of a conversation that they don't win the big game. You know what I mean? But even this year, you look at the Rangers, took them to overtime. They probably should have won that game too. Tampa beat Tampa. Like you beat Florida earlier in the year, and Florida's been good so far. Like yeah, this is
Vegas is the only team they've looked bad against.
Right. And Vegas does that to a lot of teams.
and even then, it wasn't like the Jets were horrible. It's just like there was, you could just tell right now Vegas is at a different spot than basically everybody else in the NHL. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be intriguing to see what happens at the deadline, because there's probably going to be an insane amount of sellers this year. Because there's, like you said, especially in the West, it's so bad. So bad. And I don't know what happened. Like, I mean, there's kind of an entrenched top three in each division. And then after that, it's so bad. I don't know.
I've seen people too say that we should add more teams to the NHL. Please, no. No. The teams suck right now.
It's such a, like, let's make a quick bucks type of a thing without any sort of long-term thinking attached to it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're just, if the NHL goes ahead, they're just blinded by $1 billion. Like, they're freaking Dr. Evil. It's like, no, think of the long-term health of the league. Like, just get it right with 32 teams before you start talking about 34. So that's the Western Conference. And, yeah, I think we're both kind of in agreement there that the Jets are looking pretty damn good right now. Out there in the East, quickly, any big surprises that jump up? It's got to be the Metro. The Metro is, it's topsy-turvy. It's upside down. The Rangers being the Rangers, no big surprise there. Washington? And nobody really knows how they're, like, Charlie Lindgren and the Capitals are 10-4-2. And then you have Carolina kind of sputtering by their standards. And then the Flyers? Then you have Pittsburgh, New Jersey, like, way out of it. It is, that's a bizarre and then Columbus is, Columbus is actually more dysfunctional than Edmonton right now, Tyson. Yeah, believe it or not.
That's another team where it's like, you look at Yarmo's tenure there, and even John Davison too. I feel like he doesn't get enough flack for all this. He's like heralded as one of the best minds in hockey. He's never won anything as a executive, like literally nothing. With Columbus, there was 5 missed playoffs in the 12 seasons that John Davison has been with the Columbus Blue Jackets. There was a bit of like a sabbatical, or not a sabbatical, but he was with the Rangers in between there. He's missed the playoffs 6 times, lost in the first round 5 times, and made it to the second round once. And we're acting like these guys are some of the best executives in hockey. Like, it's stupid. Like, it doesn't make any sense. They went all in 1 year where it was like kind of, oh, no one's ever really done this before, and it just sunk their team. It just completely sunk their team, and they have nothing going for them now. Goudreau's going to be an anchor. It looks like he doesn't really care about hockey anymore.
I wonder if they trade him.
But it's like the Huberto situation, right? Like, who's going to want him right now? Like, do you want a guy who's not going to play any kind of two-way hockey? He's not going to throw the body around. He's going to float around. There's going to be stretches of games where he doesn't even take a shot. Like, no one now, especially now, I feel like
when you put it that way, that does sound bad.
It sounds weird, but, and you shouldn't base how you view players off this, but I was looking at fantasy stats and just looking at like the time on ice and just scrolling through, and the amount of times you see Huberto or Goudreau and you're just scrolling at just 0, 0, 0, 0. It's like, you guys do anything out there? You're playing 20 minutes. Like, do something.
The old Sam Mitchell. Yeah. 0, 0, 0.
But and then I wanted to mention too, Carolina. I think this is the first year where I'm starting to question Carolina's front office. If we're like, with some revisionist history, obviously, and still early in the season, but did you really need to sign Orlov to a $7 million contract? Did you really need to sign Tony DeAngelo? Did you really need to sign...
I mean, the Tony, I don't like Tony DeAngelo in basically any facet.
And then hinging your playoff hopes again that Freddie and Antti Raanta stay healthy when they never do. They just don't. And I hope Freddie gets better with his blood clot issue. That's a very serious thing, but like, you can't just keep throwing these two guys out there and then be shot like, oh, they got hurt again? Oh, come on. Yeah. How unlucky are we?
We'll see. I think Carolina's going to be okay. It's not like it's a disastrous start for them. They just haven't been dominant yet. but that part is definitely concerning. I mean, Boston doing what they do is, I mean, I know Tampa's 1-2, Colorado, all that stuff. But I mean, to me, Boston's the model franchise in the NHL. Like, they just, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter who the coach, any of that. It's just like constant success every single time they hit the ice there. I mean, the Atlantic is kind of what we expected, depending on how you rank the team. But it's the top four teams we all thought. And then a bunch of the up-and-comers struggling to find a way to break through there. So it'll be intriguing to see what happens out there in the East. The Metro is the one that's causing the most chaos right now. But, you know, talk about saying thanks on American Thanksgiving. If you're doing any kind of dinner prayer or something like that, maybe give some thanks for the Winnipeg Jets being in the Central Division and the Western Conference this year, because going to be a smooth ride to the postseason if things continue as they have so far, both with how the Jets have played and how every other team in the Western Conference in the bottom half has played so far this season. So good vibes heading into the next three quarters of the season. And that will begin Friday night with a matchup against Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers. The Jets will kind of continue their road trip at that point into Nashville on Sunday. And then back home for four straight, starting Tuesday night against the Dallas Stars. We'll get into all of that when we come back at it next week on Tuesday morning. Until then, though, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. CJOB's Tyson Rewicki here with us once again. Like I said, we'll get back at it Tuesday morning talking Jets Panthers, Jets Preds, and whatever else happens between now and then. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. Enjoy your Thanksgiving down south. Stay safe and have a good time, everybody. Peace.